Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report, and today we have with us Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Big surprise, you're here. Woohoo! But let's see. I need to come up with a decent segue because that just totally sucked. We're going to go back just a little bit and try and come up with something. And I'm drawing a blank. I should have had a second cup of coffee. So you tell me we're talking about a special kind of prescription. This is not for cattle directly. This is not something in the medicine cabinet, but it involves everybody's favorite tool, fire. Bring it on.
Yeah, so today I just wanted to talk and give a heads up as to why you might be seeing smoke in our communities.
It's grilling season.
Yeah. Or even just smoke or hazy horizons when we're driving down the highway. And that is going to be because of the prescribed fires that the state of Kansas farmers and ranchers are lighting right now. Prescribed fires are very prevalent in the March through mid-May time period. And in fact, probably the most common sighting of a prescribed fire is going to be found in the state of Kansas. That has a lot to do with of all the tall grass prairies that the United States once had. We're down to about 4% of that, and 3% of that 4 would be found in the state of Kansas. So fire has always been a tool that has been used to keep grasslands grass, and our farmers and ranchers in the state of Kansas continue to do that here in mostly in the Flint Hills, but in parts of Kansas. So brush control and increased stalker gains. Stalkers would be yearling cattle that get turned out onto these native grass pastures, often top the list of why prescribed fire is used. So decades of research from Kansas State have indicated that a spring burn can enhance stalker gains with an additional 32 pounds per animal when grazing these burned pastures, even in dry years. And while 32 pounds per animal doesn't sound like a whole lot, at today's prices, $2.50 per pound, that's on the conservative side of things, would be $80 a head. And when you're talking 100, 200, or even thousands of head of cattle that these farmers and ranchers are taking care of, that money adds up. I would say a buzzword in agriculture is sustainability. And I would say a part of sustainability is being profitable and having enough money to move into the next year. And that's all just what happens when we're talking the gains on those cattle. But what about brush control? If we were having to go in with a mechanical equipment to eliminate these trees out of these pastures and keep this really grasslands, that would cost a small fortune. Where a match, water, and I'm going to say volunteers or people helping you control this prescription or this prescribed fire doesn't cost nearly as much. So that is one of those big reasons we see fire.
Just pay for their lunch.
Yeah, pay for their lunch and maybe a few beverages afterwards. But
yes, the beverages come afterward, not while you're looking at the fire.
Absolutely. The most brush control happens once these trees have leafed out. If you're driving down the road or through your communities, look and see, are these trees starting to leaf out? Well, I know the elms and the hackberries are for sure. I have not seen a hedge or an oak tree start to leaf out yet. And typically, the guys in the Flint Hills will tell you those are their telltale signs of when it's time to burn, as brush or these woody plants are more vulnerable to fire and being controlled by them once they've leafed out. So they're using that energy, then they're kind of getting burned off and having to restart. The exception to that is the eastern red cedar, which are vulnerable to prescribed burns all the time. And they're just very vulnerable. As Kansas State and other parties or partners of ours would say, be a leader, kill a cedar. Eastern red cedar is devastating grasslands right now in the state of Kansas. And while that doesn't sound like a problem, like it's just a tree, Ryan, what's the problem? The forage base that they are taking away is just drastic. So we definitely need to be watching Eastern Red Cedar and their explosion here in the state. Other reasons for burning would be just the native plant community, kind of conserving it. For instance, fescue, not native here in the state of Kansas, but it's in all of our road ditches. Well, those will eventually start to creep out into these native grasses. By burning, we can set that back and kind of push them out of those pastures. We can improve grazing distribution. This is evident by Native Americans using fire to enhance wildlife to come to their hunting grounds and maybe not their enemies. But we can also enhance wildlife habitat. So the lesser prairie chicken, quail would be two that we're trying to create a better habitat for when we're burning some of these native grasses. When we look back at 2023, I'll give you the number of acres burned just in the Flint Hills region. So this is a very small part of the state of Kansas, but 1.25 million acres were burned last year. While that number sounds pretty big, it is down considerably compared to the 24 running average that Kansas State University has right now. That average would be about 2.1 million acres a year get burned. Just so you can compare these numbers, the most that K-State has documented in these 24 years would be 3.4 million acres in 2005. And then the least amount of acres that were burned was 217,000 acres, and that was in 2013. I can just tell you, based on those numbers, I would say 2004 was probably pretty wet, and we had a lot of growth, a lot of fuel for those producers to burn then in the spring of 25. While in 2012, if you can remember, we were coming out of a pretty severe drought. And in 13, we didn't have a whole lot of fuel, so we didn't burn as much.
Okay.
So rainfall is going to be a deciding factor, or can be a deciding factor, of how much we burn. If we think back about 23's rain pattern, the western part of the state of Kansas got more rainfall than average, while the farther you moved east into central Kansas and then in eastern Kansas, we were fairly dry. That would tell you we will see a reduced amount of acres burned again in 2024. But I could argue that because we were less than half or around half of what typically gets burned in 2023, there might be more fuel and more acres get burned in 24 because they're trying to catch up and continue to burn these pastures. So for me, it's kind of a crapshoot. I don't know which way it's going to go. It's going to be largely dependent on probably the weather and winds. Speeds that we're going to be dealing with through April and into mid-May. As with many things, what is good for one is often bad for another. So while producers are getting some cheap brush control and getting some free gains on their cattle, there's a lot of other Kansans that have to deal with some of this smoke as well. I don't want you to think that you're not being thought of in this process. Producers are really looking at different tools trying to dictate where this smoke would go. So just for an example, in April of 2010, it was April 9th, it was the absolute perfect day to burn. There are very calm winds. So everybody in the Flint Hills region threw a match. That happened to be, I think, on a Saturday as well. So everybody was off. You were just allowed, a lot of acres got burned on that day. On April 11th, just 2 days later, there was ashes falling in the streets of New York City from our prescribed burns in the state of Kansas. So a strong wind stream came through, picked up that smoke, and took it all the way to New York City. That led to KDHE, to Kansas State University and other partners to come up with a plan. How are we going to start showing the United States that we care about these very sensitive individuals in our communities? So we've created a smoke module that can be found at kansasfire.org. So what this site does is it allows these producers to put in their location, how much fuel they have to burn, which will dictate how much smoke, how many acres they're trying to burn, and it gives them an idea of where their smoke is going to be going. Unfortunately, right now, that site is down, or the smoke module is down. As we move into burn season, that is a tool that a lot of our producers would use. In the meantime, I would direct those producers to go to the Kansas Mesonet, and we have 70 weather stations across the state of Kansas to help give you humidity, wind speeds, and things like that. You know, we want a strong enough wind where it's blowing this smoke out of our communities, but not so strong of a wind that we're having to deal with wildfires then as they can get away from us. So if you guys have questions, whether it would be a health-related question and what we can do or you can do to maybe solve some of those issues, or if you are wanting to light a prescribed fire but want to be very sensitive to your neighbors, give me a call. The office number is 785-448-6826.
Outstanding. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. It's interesting to watch how not only the producers use fire as a tool, but so does the wildlife.
Yeah.
Watching hawks hovering over the leading edge, waiting for lizards and whatever else to run out, and then down they go. Lunchtime.
Or rabbits, or I mean anything right. that might be covered by those prey animals are kind of hiding underneath, and then the predators are right there to snatch them up or
exactly.
trying to.
Now, folks who are dealing with, say, asthma or other sensitivity issues as far as the smoke goes, can they also call or use the smoke module and things like that so they can say, okay, this is a good day to be anywhere else?
Yeah, so the smoke module would give you a good day. Like they have like red flag days, which would be absolute days you don't want to burn. And then there's other days where there would be better days to burn. And you could push in a lot of those. I mean, you could guesstimate like what's happening out in the Flint Hills and see where that wind is going to take some of that smoke. So you could try to figure some of that out. It becomes a little tricky. I would say the biggest thing is if you see smoke, we probably want to try to stay indoors on those days. So if it's a real hazy day,
save your lungs.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and I sympathize with you. But I think it's very important to also know why this is happening. It's not because they don't care about you. It's trying to keep grasslands. So.
Because everybody likes to eat as much as they like to breathe.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you, and we look forward to talking to you again, probably about this in the future, I would expect. Coming up Monday morning at 6.
Yeah.
Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District, Family and Consumer Sciences Agent, specializing in nutrition, food safety, and health, Chelsea Richmond.